It is Mother's Day, as has been noted by the calendar and by the many people saying Happy Mother's Day. I hope everybody is having a blessed day so far. I am fully aware, for a lot of reasons, that Mother's Day isn't as joyful for some as it is for others. So just know that if it's not, we're praying for you and we're letting the Lord help you through this day. It is life takes its path and its journey sometimes, and sometimes it's not always pleasant. So we don't want you to think that we're not thinking of you, and we're not praying for you and asking the Lord to bless your day as well. However, I want to read this little thing I found called A Praying Mother. D.L. Moody used to tell a story of a man who came to him and said, "When the Mexican War began, I wanted to enlist. My mother, seeing I was resolved, said, if I become a Christian, I might go. She pleaded and prayed that I might become a Christian, but I wouldn't. I said, when the war is over, I would become a Christian, but not till then. All her pleading was in vain, and at last, when I was going away, she took out a watch and said, 'My son, your father left this to me when he died. Take it, and I want you to remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother will be praying for you.' Then she gave me her Bible and marked out pages and put a few different references in the fly leaf. I took the watch and the Bible just because my mother gave them. I never intended to read the Bible. I went off to Mexico, and one day, while on a long, weary march, I took out my watch, and it was 12 o'clock. I had been gone 4 months, but I remembered that my mother, at that hour, was praying for me. Something prompted me to ask the officer to relieve me for a little while, and I stepped behind a tree away out on those plains of Mexico and cried to God of my mother to save me. God saved him, and after the Mexican War was ended, he said, 'I have enlisted again to see if I can do any good for my master's cause.'" Pretty amazing story about a mother's prayer, if you ask me. And there's countless stories that can be told about a mother's prayer over her children. Every mother that knows the Lord would pray for her children. And I believe that most every mother, maybe with the exception of a few in the world who's ever existed, truly loves their children in a genuine way. Even if they're not believers, they have the same natural instinct to love them in that great way, to where they would almost want to will the best for them into their lives. And it takes all of their energy and all of their time and all of their thoughts, all of who they are, these mothers. Fathers are similar. Fathers love their children too, right? We just do it different. We have different ways of doing that. We're built different. We're designed different. We're created to be different, mothers and fathers. And a father can never love his children the same way their mother does. I don't believe that one is greater than the other, but I do believe that one may at times be more intense than the other. The mother's love is, I don't even know if it can be measured. It's not greater than God's love, but I believe it certainly does come from God. God created mothers to be the way that they are. I think that's true in every living thing in the world that takes care of their young in such a way to nurture them and to bring them up and to protect them, to worry about them, to care for them so deeply that they would give up their own safety and security for the sake of their youngins. It's amazing, isn't it? And I realize that there are times when that is missing in a person's life. There's times when a mother, for some reason or another, is disconnected from that and with her children. But But I believe those are the exceptions, and it's not what God intended. The reason I'm talking about this, not just because it's Mother's Day, but I want to talk about evangelism, because that's what we've been talking about. And I want to talk about a man named Philip who preached the gospel to a man who got saved afterwards. This guy, Philip, he was doing ministry in Samaria, and he was really good at doing ministry in Samaria. He was having great success in evangelism as he preached the gospel to the people in Samaria. So much so that God put him on special assignment. So Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at, and I'm going to come back to what I just said about the mothers here in just a little bit. But I do want you to keep in mind that as I talk about this idea of evangelism being a lifestyle for the believer, the whole point that I'm using this mother's prayer and the idea of what God created mothers to do and to be is because mothers naturally do those things. They don't turn it on and off. They may want to, but they just don't do it. They may want to take a break, but when they do take a break, they're constantly thinking about the children. It's their lifestyle. They're mothers. That's who they are. That's what God created them to be. Once the children come, they are mothers to the end. No matter what happens, no matter how it turns out, they're mothers. You know, and they have that love in them. It's ingrained in them. And just like God created mothers to be this way with their children, God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we, the believers, would be evangelistic, would have it ingrained in us to love people in similar ways. So I want to kind of break that down as we look at chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. What's happening is Philip is encountering God in a special way, and God says, I want you to go do this, and I want you to go meet a person, and I want you to go minister to him in a different place than where you are. And because Philip is connected and he's living the lifestyle of evangelism, he's living the lifestyle of a believer, he's not only ready to go, but he's willing to go. And God uses him in a great way. So let's check it out in verse 26. You'll have to open up your Bibles or get on your phones or whatever you have, because it's lengthy and I didn't want to put it on the screen because you wouldn't be able to read it anyway. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Verse 30 says, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. Verse 33, in humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And then in verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Excuse me, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, and then he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. And then finally in verse 40, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. As he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. A little bit lengthy this morning, a lot of scripture to read, but it's the entire account of how this thing happened. This moment of evangelism happened for this Ethiopian man. I think that Philip, in some ways, is pretty insignificant. He's just a guy who loved God, who knew the truth, who was willing to be led by the Spirit of God, right? And be used by God. So that doesn't mean that Philip is not important. It just means that the Spirit of God working in Philip is what made all of this happen for this Ethiopian man on the side of the road, reading Isaiah's writings after he had been worshiping. You see, the man's looking for God. The man is seeking the truth. And God always reveals himself when that happens. Any person that seeks the truth, God will show himself. I'm just going to give you three steps. We should be endeavoring to be like Philip or be used in a manner in which Philip was used for the kingdom. That's my prayer for our church. That's my prayer for me personally. It's my prayer for every believer around the world, that we would be used the way Philip was used in this moment on a regular basis. Not just one time, but on a regular basis, that this would be the way we live. This would be our lifestyle as believers. Once we commit ourselves to Christ and we're baptized as the Ethiopian was, we begin to rejoice, and then we begin to live a life the way Philip was living his life. He was all about doing ministry. He was all about preaching the gospel. He was all about looking and listening to the Spirit of God in his life. And he was all about giving God the glory. How do I know that? Because at the end it says he just went on about preaching the gospel in other places. He didn't stick around to get the praise for it. I mean, the Lord didn't let him in this case, but it wasn't important to him that he get credit for baptizing that man. Because if it was important to him, he may have tried to stay with him or tried to go back to him. But it says he went on and preached the gospel in all the other cities in Caesarea. It's a lifestyle, y'all. Being a Christian, being saved by the blood of Christ, is who you are if you're a believer, if you've surrendered to that fact. If you've surrendered to Jesus and his lordship in your life, you've confessed Christ, by faith you believe, you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life, the ways of Jesus, is your lifestyle. That's what God intends. That's what Jesus died for. The amazing thing about it is there are countless ways for the Christians to live out this lifestyle in the world. God can use this tool in many ways to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to love people so that they might know God. And he would use each one of you in a different way and have the same success rate if we're surrendered to the evangelistic lifestyle. When I say lifestyle, I'm using that word meaning this is who we are. It's not what we do. It's not what we try to perfect. It's who we are in Christ. Okay? So, three things. All right, three things. And the first two have to do with this word right here. Listen. So hard, especially in a world full of technology that's just blasting information tempting us to interact, tempting us to say things in response to what we are hearing. And one of the biggest problems in our world today, as far as living the evangelistic lifestyle, is the world wants us to hear things so that we might react to them without listening to what we're hearing. And a lot of times, people are having conversations for the sake of hearing so that they can react with their opinions and their thoughts. But they're never listening to what's being said or shared. And I mean they lightly. It should be we sometimes. If we don't listen, we won't know anything. Hello? Here's how the preacher knows when the people are listening. Every now and then an amen comes flying out of the pews out there. Because they've listened, and then they heard, and then they responded, right? Just a clue. So when we listen, there's an order in which we listen. If we take notes from Philip, he listened what? First to God he listened. We spent churches just like ours. We spend all this time in conversation and prayer about how do we reach the community for Christ? How do we get people to know God? How do we get people to eventually want to be saved and then become a part of the body of Christ? I mean, it's a legitimate conversation, wouldn't you think? I mean, if we weren't talking about that, we'd have bigger issues. However, how often are we spending time listening to God first? He says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem. If Philip was one of those guys that was just all about talking all the time, or all about preaching all the time, and never stopped to listen, he never would have heard from the Lord about this. And he never would have had the opportunity to be obedient to the Lord. You want to make disciples? You want to be a great disciple maker? You want to be a Christian that honors God? Everybody say, yes, I do. Listen to what God's saying to you. Go where God leads you to go. How many times have we fell into this trap where we work hard on our prayer life because we know it's important? And then one day, the Spirit of God finally gets our attention and says, if you would stop talking, then God would speak to you. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that from time to time. I'll be talking so much that God, I don't even hear. I'm like, why isn't God answering my prayers? How come God's not leading me? And the Spirit of God's just over going, zip it, man. Just shut it down. Just shut it down and you'll know. You'll know. We have everything we need to live the lifestyle that Philip is showing us in this particular part of Acts. We have everything we need. We have the Word of God. We have the truth. We have God's Word. And we have His Holy Spirit. And we have His forgiveness and His grace. That's all we need to live this lifestyle. To do the things that Philip shows in this particular part of the Scripture. You want your friends and neighbors? You know, last week I passed out the empty index cards and asked you to make a commitment that you would write down some names of people that you would like to minister to or people that you would like to get saved and so on. And I think a lot of you did that. And I hope you're still praying about those things. But it's more than just praying. It's actually getting involved. If we could pray like a mother would pray over her children over that list on our cards, how powerful would that be? The love of a mother in the presence of our Father is amazing. It's amazingly powerful. Because a mother's love is genuine, most of the time it's genuine and it's deep over her children. And when she goes to the Father for those children, you want to talk about prayers of a righteous one. Because most of the time, I have to believe that those prayers are not only genuine, but they're not selfish at all. They're not at all about self. And I'm a guy, I'm a man saying this. And if I were able to know what a mother knows about how they feel about their children, I think it would blow my mind. The level of love that we're talking about. I wonder what it would look like if the believers in the world, the church, could ever at least get halfway serious about loving people that way. Going to the Lord. Seeking the Lord about these people. Lord, talk to me. Let me listen to what you're saying about the people that I care about, the people in my presence. Who should I minister to today? Where should I go? What should I say? And then listen to God. Listen to God. God will show you. God will start putting opportunities in your path that you can't avoid. Because you're willing, you're seeking Him, you're willing to do it, you're wanting to be involved, you know Him, you're spending time with Him. You're a disciple maker. You're an evangelist. It's you. It's who you are. It's your lifestyle. Many people think about evangelism as going into the world and talking and preaching to people. Standing on the street corners or sharing scripture with somebody or giving them some kind of piece of paper with text on it. None of those things are wrong. But if we're not listening to God first, then we're on our own, aren't we? If God didn't ever tell you to go do something, why would you do it? How do I know it's God? Because the Spirit of God will tell me that whatever it is I'm about to do or seems to be an opportunity would agree with what Scripture teaches about the Christian life. It's never going to be wrong to love somebody. Right? According to Scripture, it's never wrong. Now, how you do that, Philip was told to go from wherever he was. God pulled him away from a successful ministry to move him way over in another place, in the desert, by the way, and to go talk to this man. And I noticed that when this angel said that to him, it says in verse 27, so he got up and went. I like that. It doesn't say anything about his demeanor. It doesn't say anything about his attitude. It doesn't say anything about his thoughts or his desires. It doesn't say he was arguing with God. It just says he got up and went. I pray that for me, myself, my personal life, my family, for everybody in the church, that when God leads, that we would just get up and go. We would just get up and do. Are we servants of the Lord or not? Are we those who are being led by His Spirit? Or are we those who are trying to get Him to do our thing? I love it when I see these people in the book of Acts. When the Spirit of God is leading them and charging them to do stuff, they're so bold in their response. They're standing before the world and saying, you know what, we're going to pick God over you. You tell us to quit talking about Jesus? We're going to keep talking about Jesus because that's what God wants us to do. And here we are thousands of years later, and we seem to struggle with that. We seem to have trouble. And I mean we, generally, around the world, the body of Christ. We seem to have trouble. I sometimes wonder if our culture is not teaching us to weigh God's guidance and His truth against our opinions and our intellect to see if it's good enough. I hope that's not true for any of us here. But you know, today we hear from God through the study of the Word and the Holy Spirit living in us. lot of people come to me and many other preachers, and they say, how do I hear God? How do I know it's God? Well, it takes building up some spiritual disciplines, some habits of prayer, silent prayer, sitting by yourself, letting God talk to you, letting the Word of God soak into your mind and your heart. That's why when I was thinking about this while we were all praying this morning, I've said it a couple times this morning, and all the guys were saying it when we were praying. We're asking God to clear our minds and our hearts. I've heard everybody to this morning that was praying say something like that. And really, my intention in saying that personally is that we would ask God to quiet us down so that we can hear Him. Cut off the noise. Shut the world out, including self. I'm just going to confess self right now. This person, me, myself, is the biggest problem in my life. Sometimes I can't hear God because self won't shut it down. You don't mind if I confess today? Then, once we get our assignment, once God puts an opportunity in front of us, once there's one of our loved ones or even a stranger or any people, group of people that God puts in front of us to minister to, we still don't talk. You just listen. He come up on this guy, this Ethiopian, who's reading from Isaiah on the road. This is going to sound funny, but when I read the Bible, I kind of play a movie in my mind while I'm reading it. It helps me imagine how it was and what it would have been. But for some reason, every time I get to this point, I can see Philip as Bugs Bunny with a carrot in his mouth, showing up in front of the Ethiopian. What's up, Doc? I don't know why that happens, but Philip just shows up out of nowhere and is like, hey, what's happening? I don't know why that happens. So here's this guy. He's reading out of the Word of God, right? He's been worshiping. It says he was just coming from worshiping. And he's reading the Word of God, the prophecies of God. And he's talking about Jesus, what he's reading about. He's talking about, not only just talking about Jesus, but talking about Jesus being the Savior of the world. And how he was going to suffer and die, right? That's what it described. And here comes Philip saying, hey, what's up? You know what you're reading? You know what's going on there? I'm one that I don't get mad, but I don't like when we're watching a television show and people want to talk about the television show while we're watching it. Because I can't hear two things at once. Maybe some other people can do it, but I can't do it. And here this guy is reading the Word, and Philip's like, hey, you want me to tell you about what's going on? In this case, he needed somebody to tell him because he's like, how do I understand? How do I know what it says if nobody teaches me? How does the world know about Jesus if nobody teaches them? If nobody follows the Lord and His guidance, if nobody responds to when God is talking to them through the Word and through the Spirit of God, then how is anybody supposed to understand what we know is to be true? Romans teaches us that. How can anybody be saved if nobody preaches the Word? How can anybody receive the truth if it's never preached? Philip didn't know to ask the question until he listened first. He didn't know what to do or what the man needed until he listened to him. He got up in the chariot with him. He got up in his buggy there. And he's sitting there riding with him. He's like, all right, here's what this means and here's what that means. But it wasn't until after he learned where the man was, what's going through his mind and how he's feeling and what's going on in his life. How do we know how to help somebody if we don't ask who they are and what they need and what they know? Be careful, because the Lord might put you in somebody's presence and they actually know more than you. Hello? It's not always the case that the Lord puts somebody in your presence to help for you to help them. Maybe they're there to minister to you in some way. You ever think about that? God is a multitasker, in case you didn't know that. Right. So he's listening to this guy, and he realizes, okay, this man doesn't understand. He worships God. He's seeking the Lord, but he doesn't understand the most important thing about Jesus. So that's an easy fix. He just, okay, let me just tell you about it. And he told him, and boom, changed his life. Completely changed the man's life. That's when we talk. How do you know? How do you know when it's time to stop listening and then start talking? How do you know when there's an opportunity for you to put truth into somebody's life? I believe the Spirit of God will give you that. The Spirit of God will put it on you. It'll be like the Word of God just come up out of you. Because somebody's going to say something in a conversation with you that you're listening to. You're not just hearing their words. You're actually listening and paying attention to what those words mean about that person. Because if you do that, if you're able to do that, if you're able to listen to God and then listen to those who are lost, you will learn so much about those people. And your perspective on about those people will completely change. And that's where I often say we need to be in prayer that God will let us see the people in this world and each other the way God sees them, not the way we see them. Because if we just look at people the way we see them on the surface, all the faults and all the things that aren't right, we will never minister to anybody. But if we see what God sees, if we see what God loves, then the Spirit of God has something to work with. That's all Philip did. It was like a quick assignment for him. He showed up, said, "Hey, what's up, Doc? Oh, you want to know about Jesus? I'll tell you about Jesus." He told him about Jesus. And the guy got so excited, and he was like, "Oh, I need Jesus too. There's some water right over there. What's stopping me from being baptized?" I love when people come to that place. Isn't that the goal, y'all? All the names that were written on the index card from last week, all the names that you have on your personal page that you wrote down that you know are not saved and you would love to do something to help them. The prayer is that we would get to that moment where they would all say, "Oh, I need Jesus too. What's stopping me?" Some of the people on my list live on the other side of the country. But you can bet I would make my way there right now if the phone rang and said I need to be saved. That's how important it is, y'all. Are we willing, if the Lord puts an opportunity in front of your face, in front of you in your life, are you willing to shut your whole world down to go deal with what God wants you to do? That's the evangelistic lifestyle. And it may not be travel across the world. It may not be some supernatural movement like Philip went from one place to another supernaturally because that's what God was doing. Sometimes the opportunity comes at what you and I might consider the worst possible moment. Because we're busy living life. We're busy doing life. But if we would just be able to pay attention and listen to God and listen to the people around us, God will show us all these opportunities that we can interact with people in the way that Philip did. They may not all get saved because of this interaction, but you never know. You never know where somebody is. Maybe some other believer has moved them closer to God a couple weeks ago. Maybe some other disciple maker went into their life and loved them in such a way that they've been for months praying about their relationship with Christ, and then suddenly they know just because you're a Christian, it's like, "Hey, I think I might need to be saved." And you haven't done a thing to instigate that. But if we're not paying attention and listening to the Lord and listening to the lost, then we will miss opportunities to share the truth. It's really not that hard, is it? It really isn't that hard. Because God does it all. you know, I really believe, as much as it's hard to see, I believe that most people living in today's world, somewhere deep down, they're searching and longing for what is true. They may not be running after God, but they want to know what's real and what's true in the world. And most of them have already dismissed that it's God. They're looking for it somewhere else. And all we have to do is first pray, be prayerful people, ask the Lord, lead me, guide me, use me. Show me opportunities for the people around me to be a blessing, to plant truth in their minds and in their hearts. Because if we just say, clear our hearts and minds every time we pray, which I think is a great way to pray, if we say only clear our hearts and minds, well, what about everybody else's hearts and minds? The ones who are lost, their minds and their hearts are not clear. And there's so much noise in their world. Some of them have given up on finding truth, finding what's real. Some of them have just totally given up and said, you know what, I'm just going to make whatever I want to be real and true to be real and true, and that's how I'm going to live. And the sad part is, if nobody teaches them what's real and what's true in a loving way, then how can they know it? And how can they be saved? And if we don't pray these prayers and we don't seek the Lord in this way as evangelists for the gospel, if we don't take this avenue, then writing names on an index card is fruitless, really. Isn't it? God doesn't serve us. We don't just write names down and then say, God, hey, can you get these people saved? No, God's saying to you and me, you go and tell them so I can do what I do. You go and do. I've already done. I've already provided the way. You go tell people which way is the right way. The only way I know how to do that is to listen to God. And then when God brings people into my life, then I go and listen to them. And when the Spirit of God leads me and gives me words, then I start talking. And I ask the Lord to help me say the words He wants me to say in such a way that I'm not tearing people down, but I'm building people up and I'm pushing people to God. You notice Philip shows up to this Ethiopian, and he doesn't ridicule him or knock him down because he doesn't know what he's reading. Well, what do you mean you don't know? It's this plain right there. No, that's not how he did it. He said, hey, what's up? You know what you're doing? You know what you're reading? And he's like, no, how can I? He's like, well, scoot over. I'll tell you. You need to know this. The goal of evangelism is to help people see the truth of the Word of God and then watch how it impacts their life. The hardest part, I think, for ministry, the hardest part as being a Christian, a disciple maker, whichever way you want to look at it, the most difficult part is sometimes we don't always get to see the results. We don't get to see the fruit every time. Sometimes we have to wait. We say the words that God gives us to say at the right time, in His timing. We listen to people. We love God. We love people. We say the words, and then we step back and wait. It's so hard to wait, y'all. Because you and I both know that we're not promised another day. And those people who aren't saved aren't promised another day either. So I've tried to develop a habit of, for the people that I'm waiting about, the people that maybe I've spoken truth into their life somehow, I'm also praying that God would send one more messenger to them, someone else, and someone else, and someone else, and someone else. Another Philip, another Philip, another Philip, until one day they say, how come I'm not baptized? How come I'm not saved? How come I don't know Jesus like this? Isn't that the goal? Because you can't make people believe, y'all. You can't make people be saved. I wish we could, because I can probably do that a little bit better. It's not the way Jesus did it, so we don't do it that way. So here we are, listening to God, reviewing, listening to God first. We pray, lay it all on the table. Lord, these are the people. This is what my heart is broken over. And then be quiet. And listen. That just reminded me of my truck driving days. The CB radio is not something that is healthy to listen to. Am I right? All you truck drivers? There's nothing on the CB radio that's worth listening to. But there's all this language. There's this CB language that we all know. And there's all these words that we say, and it's really not for any other reason but just to sound cool to each other. Right? And every time somebody's done talking, they'll have this thing that they each say, and it marks their personality. And I used to know a guy, he was all the time saying, I'm back quiet. And he'd stop talking. Let somebody else talk for a while. And then he'd start talking again, I'm back quiet. Every now and then, one of us other guys that drove with him, we'd get on there and say, we thought you said you was back quiet, but here you are talking again. God wants us to be quiet. He wants us to be back quiet so that we can be heard. Then we listen. We listen to people. Spend time. Sit down and have coffee with somebody. Invite them into your house. Sit on the front porch. I don't care where you sit, somewhere. Or take a walk and just listen to them talk. You ever notice if you let people talk about themselves, they'll just keep talking most of the time? We're like that. That's how we are. Because we all have something going on. That's how you get to know people. Once we listen, we'll learn. God will reveal some truth. And then suddenly, the Spirit of God will take His word and say, hey, Jesus taught about this kind of a situation. Or, hey, this is what Jesus says to do about that kind of problem. I'm going to read this last thing and then I'll be back quiet. I'll be done. When a mother has a sick child, it is marvelous how quick her ears become while attending it. Good woman, we wonder she does not fall asleep. If you hired a nurse, it is 10 to 1 she would fall asleep. But the dear child in the middle of the night does not need to cry for water or even speak. There is a little quick breathing. Who will hear it? No one would except the mother. But her ears are quick, for they are in her child's heart. Even so, if there is a heart in the world that longs for the things of God, God's ear is already in that poor sinner's heart. He will hear it. There is not a good desire on earth, but the Lord has not heard it. In other words, God hears it all. He hears the silent prayers that we don't say. He hears the lost sinner who really does need to know what truth is. Desperate for one of these millions of churches around the world to show them that God really is real. And that Jesus really does save. If we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus, then shouldn't we be listening for that? Shouldn't we be listening for God to say, hey, There's one over there that's crying out for me. There's one over there that really wants to know me. There's one over there that really needs some truth in their life. And if we would just listen to God, then He would listen. He would be hearing all of the ones that are calling out to Him and seeking Him. And He would use us all to go and make Himself known. This is the lifestyle of evangelism. That's why I think that the mother's love for their for her children is a great example of what it means to be an evangelist, to be a Christian, to be one who loves people. God wants us to love people that deeply because He does. He does. God loves us deeper than we'll ever know. And if He loves me that deeply, you look around in the world and you see all these other people, and He must love them just as deeply. And He heard my cries when I was lost in the middle of the night, all throughout the days. The times my heart cried out and I didn't even know. And He kept showing Himself to me until I could believe that He is real. Until I could believe that He loves me this much to send Jesus to the cross. So that I, just me, this old truck driver, hammer swinging sinner boy, can be saved. Same thing is true for each of you. Same thing is true for every believer around the world. As we celebrate this Mother's Day this morning, I think it's amazing what mothers do and what they go through for their children. From the outside looking in, it's all, you look at them and you're just like, they just do stuff. Like crazy stuff. I mean, I've seen mothers dig into some nasty stuff that I would never touch. I just wouldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I would rather teach the child to do it for themselves than for me to have to do it. Mothers are awesome. What God has done through the ladies in the world is amazing. That's why when children who don't have a mother, it affects them greatly because they're missing something that God intended them to have. But I can even tell you this, God sees that. And He hears it. And He will send people. He will send His believers to minister and to love. Every time. Are you ready to be part of that as a believer? Are you spending your days listening for God, looking for opportunities that He reveals to you to just be that one person that shows up and says, hey, what's up? You understand what's happening? Here, let me share some truth with you so you know. That's disciple making. And the Spirit of God does all the work, y'all. All we're doing is just being hands and feet of Jesus. That's all we do. Isn't it great? I mean, it beats the alternative, I think. I mean, the alternative is that we don't get to know this God. And He don't love us the way He does. Praise the Lord that that's not true. I love you and the Lord loves you. We're going to sing a song together. I need the book. We're going to sing a song together, and this is the time of invitation, the time of praise and prayer. Before we sing, I want all the men, we're going to do something special real quick. All the men, stand up by yourself. Ladies, stay seated. I'm doing this on purpose. Men, stand up. Come on. Look, here's what happens. I tell all the ladies to stand up, and we applaud, but I'd rather give them a standing ovation. So y'all just sit there, and let's praise the Lord and say thank you. Let's give them a good hand. We love y'all. Y'all are awesome. Praise the Lord for that. Now y'all can, well, y'all ladies, you can stand up and sing with us. Let's just stand together and we're going to sing. I was going to tell you to sit down and stand up. Look, if you have a decision to make, if you don't know the Lord, this is the time. If you know the Lord, let's praise Him and let's seek direction. Let's sing together. Nothing but the blood. Go ahead.